Welcome once again to The Conference Call, a podcast by radio people for radio people. Glad to welcome back to the microphone. Joe, has it been a while?
Yeah, I think maybe at least 10 years, Randy.
Let's welcome to our Icicle Broadcasting Studios here in Wenatchee, Joe Cooper. Joe, what are you up to now before we delve back into your past?
Okay, right now, I like to do a lot of painting. Haven't been behind the mic for quite a few years. You know, KBSG was the last radio station. Oldies 97.3, KBSG.
KBSG, one of the premier stations in the Northwest into the 80s.
Yes, and now they're, news.
I think is it Cairo FM now?
Yeah, Cairo FM.
So, Joe, what are you doing? I mean, we're going to be playing golf today. What else are you, and I've seen some of your artwork on Facebook.
Do a lot of that.
Pretty amazing stuff.
I like to do a little strange stuff. There are strange things, too, yeah. Like the eruption of Mount Rainier, which I hope never happens. I don't know if you saw that one with all the lava flowing, which there probably wouldn't be.
But we would hope not, yeah.
Yes. But fishing, I like to do a lot of fishing, as you probably know. Take hikes into mountains, you know, mountain lakes, do that. Watch movies, you know, go to a few movies, go for coffee a lot of simple things. Being retired, you can kind of get up. It's, you know, it's really strange, Randy. And by the way, thank you so much for inviting me over.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure.
You know, and my golf game is not going to shine, but we'll have fun. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And the story, it's been 38 years. Can we talk about that?
Please do, because I was 18 years old, 1978. A certain King disc jockey, air personality, used to let me come and hang out there in the studio. That was me and you.
Yeah, and that was so great, and I was so happy to inspire him. I didn't know I was inspiring him, but, you know, just say you'd be positive and tell how much fun radio can be 99% of the time.
Absolutely. It's a lot of work if you want to do it right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's not, a lot of people think, as you know, Randy, that anybody can do it, and maybe, but you have to have that perseverance and, you know, really wanting to. It's kind of like maybe the people that are actors. Tough business, you know, to get in and, you know, be good at. And some people don't persevere with it. And I understand that. You go, hey, you know, I only can do this for so long.
But a lot of people are still of the mindset, man, you only work 4 hours a day? Wow.
Well, you know, it's strange, Randy. I know people will, yeah, they will say that. And one of the kind of odd things, go to the dentist or the doctor, and I'm, oh, what did you do in your life, Joe? I go, well, you know, radio broadcast. He was like, you know what? I always wanted to do that, they would say.
I always was told I had a voice for it.
And you've heard that too, right, Randy? Yeah. People will. And then the other thing, even being retired, people will still ask, hey, you got a good voice. Were you on the radio somewhere? And I go, well, I used to be.
Hey, let's go to the Upper Peninsula.
Oh, okay.
In Michigan, you're in all high right. school. Let's talk about your band. And what got you to, you know, to have the radio bug?
That's an interesting story. For one thing, kind of like you, I was maybe 15, and we had a local radio station. And whenever I saw the DJ doing a record hop, as we called them, I mean, I would go up and watch them, and then I would listen to them on the radio. And sometimes there was an open window in Iron Mountain, Michigan, where this radio station was. So I would sometimes go stare through the window, make them nervous, you know, and say, and we've all had that happen, I'm sure.
Joe, I've been right in the same position as to when, you know, you used to let me come over to King back in the late 70s. So you see these guys doing their gig and you're thinking, you know, I could do that.
Yeah.
And that would be fun.
And that would be fun.
But you were already doing the band or?
Well, what happened in high school, I'd like to sing. I knew songs by heart. I could, you know. I could sing fairly well. I was in chorus and stuff like that. But I would memorize songs and really never thought too much about being on the radio. I was in a band. I started a band my last year of high school.
What was it called?
Joey G and the Blue Tones.
Yes.
And the reason I have a long last name, so the guy put it on the poster that where we
it
were doing
it. It wouldn't fit.
Yeah, it wouldn't fit. So he just put a G. So then later I added two E's. So that's how Joey G came about. We recorded a couple of records. Nothing got real big. I mean, everybody thought we were in this small town, but, you know.
Well, I saw some of it on YouTube.
Yeah, you can see some of the songs. Yeah, Don't You Just Know It and Little Searcher, and then we did some copies of other, you know, House of the Rising Sun and stuff like that. You know,
so,
those sort of things.
Joe, where does radio fit in the Upper Peninsula in your hometown?
Okay, radio in my hometown, it's changed a lot, you know, the business. But
sure.
When I grew up, there was just one radio station.
And, yeah, little AM, you know.
Yeah, little AM. No FM, of course, at that time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there was a night. The night guy played rock and roll. And I told you the story about Elvis, the first.
Well, and I think it's worthy of mentioning. Let's talk about the first Elvis record you ever broke. Let's
This is strange. I was 12 or 13, and a friend of mine says, have you heard of this new guy called Elvis Presley? My brother's got a record of him at home. And I'm dating myself, but that's okay. It was a 78. So we didn't have a record at my house, but he had one at his house. So he says, okay, Joe, here's the record. I'll go get us a soda, and you put it on the turntable. Well, this, you know, at 12 or 13, I didn't know how to operate a turntable. So it was a 78, very fragile. So the first record I ever touched, I put it on the turntable, and I broke it in half.
And you always wondered who broke the first Elvis
right. So I started his career by breaking his first record.
Gosh.
So anyway, that was kind of ironic, isn't it?
Gosh, great story. Gosh. Okay, so from hometown, and we know you from Super 62 KGW in Portland.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
We know you from Seattle's Big 11 KING and Seattle's original 95 KJR. Upper Peninsula, Michigan, straight to Portland?
Okay, I went to, I worked at a station in Rogers. Well, this is funny with in career. You'll maybe, I don't know if you can relate to this story or not, but my very first radio station was WHAK. I had gone to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, went to a broadcasting school. Actually started a band there, and Joey G and the Come-Ons made a couple records, you know, stuff like that. And finally, you know, I get a job in Rogers City, Michigan, small little town. And the guy that I took the place of had gone to Muskegon. He had been in that small town for 10 years, and he wanted to see if he can go into a bigger market. So I'm on the air at this small radio station, and I thought I was doing okay. Everything was brand new, and you know, I was working like midnight. We played a lot of religious programs, too, so you didn't always get to do a show.
Yeah.
But so I'm on the air, and I get a call from the manager. Not a call, not an in-person call, just a phone call. He goes, Joe, we're bringing Tom back. I go, huh.
Okay, there goes my gig.
Yeah, I go, oh, you're bringing Tom back. Oh, well, that's nice. Yeah, but we're going to have to let you go. So this is my first radio job.
A phone call.
Yeah, a phone call. So the owner's wife, who I don't know, she was the secretary, and they gave me my severance pay. And as I walked out the door, she said, Joe, I got to tell you something. I said, you should find yourself another career. You're no good to be, not, you know, something like that. You're just not good enough to be in radio.
Wow.
Well, I'm walking. I'm devastated, right?
But that's inspiration.
Yeah, that's inspiration. I'm going, how could I be told that? Well, I had a beautiful 58 Ford convertible. The motor burnt out at that exact same time. So I'm without a job. I'm sleeping in my car. So I bought some just junk car to get me by. And I turned on the radio, and there was a brand new station, WIDG in St. Ignace, Michigan. And they played rock and roll. I couldn't believe it. Small town playing rock and roll. So I called the manager up, and I said, do you have any openings? He says, yeah, come on down. So I slept a few days in the car, and then I lasted there.
So you were at IDG for a couple of years, then to Portland?
Then to, another story. There's so many stories. I have so many stories. You know, radio guys like us, you can tell me 1,000 stories.
And we've got plenty of time, so
okay.
We really want to hear it. So.
what happened, I worked at this small station and it was, you know, played rock and roll, and the manager, I liked him a lot, and we had a lot of fun, DJs and, you know, good music. This would be 1967. So anyway, you know, working, things were going fine, and the manager, the owner, I shouldn't say the manager, but the owner, for some reason, when he would hire salespeople, they would do their commission, and then when they were to be paid, he wouldn't give them the paycheck. So they'd quit. There was nobody left. He said, Joe, you're going to have to do sales, too, besides being on the air. Yeah.
The thing you know air guy yeah. wants to hear.
No, I don't want to.
You
got to
do sales.
Sales. I didn't get into radio to do sales. So, no, you can keep your six-hour radio show or four-hour whatever, but then you're going to have to go out and sell. Otherwise, you can't work here.
Oh, man.
Said, well, what choice did I have? So I did, and I got to know everybody in town, so I sold, like, which was a lot of money back then, like $9,000 worth of commission, which I was supposed to get 20% of that. So the end of the summer, this is a small town in, you know, St. Ignace, right? Mackinac Bridge, have you ever been?
Yeah,
Mackinac
yeah.
Island. And I go in to get my 20%. He says, well, since you've been away from the station a lot, we subtracted those hours from your commission. You will drop when I tell you how much. He said, you have made $3.25. I go, what? I'm supposed to get 20% of 9,000. No.
Which would have been an amazing paycheck.
Right. At that time, yes. And he said, and the next thing he said was, and if you try to get a job somewhere else, I'll see to it that you don't.
Wow.
Not sounding bitter or anything.
No.
But I was,
wow.
That was, so I go into the another room and I get on the phone and I start calling radio stations. So I call Lansing, Michigan. This is where the owner lived.
A little bigger, a little bigger market
yeah.
now. Yeah.
Michigan State, you know, football, right?
Yeah,
Michigan
yeah,
State
yeah.
Bartons, East Lansing. So that was big market, you know, jumping from St. Ignace. So I called the guy and says, yeah, we have two openings.
Nice.
Come on, you send a tape down. These are the days when we had the little reel.
Oh, yeah.
Before cassettes.
Oh, yeah.
In my resume. And he calls me up. He says, yeah, why don't you come on down and we'll talk to you. A couple hundred miles away. So I drive all the way down. He said, yep. What shift would you like? You can do the 7 to midnight or you can do the midnight to 5 a.m. I said, oh, 7 to midnight.
Yeah.
This is what the fun times, you know,
yeah.
the Rolling Stones were just getting big. And
yeah,
the
Led Zeppelin and what have you.
And
yeah.
all that. So I worked there for about a year. And after that, I thought, you know, I want to go to something bigger. And went over to WGRD, which was in Grand Rapids.
Just slowly moving
yeah,
to
slowly
little,
moving up.
Little bigger markets.
Yes. And I did the morning show there for a couple of years. And then I also worked, this is how an inspirational radio can, and you know, because you're a very inspired person too. WKNR in Detroit, Keener 13, was like a big Detroit station. And they had an opening for a weekend slot. So I would work the 5 days at WGRD doing my morning show, drive all the way down to Detroit and do two weekend shows. So I had to change my name so I wouldn't confuse myself. So I became Bobby Lane. You ever heard of him?
Bobby?
Lane.
Bobby Lane.
Now,
no.
Bobby Lane was...
I can't say I have,
no.
Joe.
Now, before your time, Bobby Lane was like Detroit, the Detroit Lions' famous quarterback.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And he was a guy that would, very unusual, he would jump up in the air before he threw his ball. So I often thought, I don't know, I would come on and say, Bobby Lane in the air again. You know,
and
so.
It flew and it
yeah.
it took. So
and
you're
took.
Working the two gigs.
Yeah.
You're working 7 days a week.
Right.
Sleeping in the conference room.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Okay. Let's fast
okay.
forward then. Next.
Next.
Is Portland.
Next. Okay. I. yeah. Next. Okay. I hear about a station in Portland, Oregon. Now, you got to remember. Very naive living way back in the Midwest.
You had no idea what Portland was like.
Portland. I said, you know, I think I've heard of Portland. Oh, yeah, I think they have a basketball team. Yeah, they do, the Blazers. But then I looked on the map and I said, well, it's right next to Vancouver. Vancouver, Canada. Oh, that's a big city.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing
Oops.
It. So I sent a tape and I got a call from Hal Winston, the PD at that
yeah.
time at KGW and says, hey, we like your show. We got an opening for you. We'll fly you out. I mean, that was like big time for me.
Oh, yeah.
So my wife drives me with the two kids to the airport, 10 inches of snow. Not sure we were going to make it. Never flew before. Got into Portland, and it was late December, like 27th. But I had left, you know, 10 degrees and snowstorm. So when I got there, I thought, wow, this is like summer. I'm going to take my jacket off. And they drove me around and showed me some salmon jumping in the river. And, you know, at that time, I liked to hunt and stuff. So they say, oh, yeah, it's great hunting and this and that. So I said, wow, this is really great. And station, good station. He said, okay, we'll start you. And it was a lot more pay than the Midwest.
All of a sudden, you're finding yourself into a top 20 market.
Yes.
That's
and,
huge.
Yes. And I thought, wow, this is great. So again, things went real good. KGW was very big. The station did very well. I mean, we had huge numbers, you know, like 60% of the audience.
Oh, yeah. So I mean, this is Super 62 KGW, yeah. Part of the King Broadcasting family.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, if you will, a farm team or a farm member, yes, to get to King in Seattle.
Right.
So you're how long at KGW?
I think about 2 years.
Did they have to tell you, don't say KGW?
Oh, there's a, you know.
Right? I mean.
Yes, they did. It's kind of funny. We talked about this earlier, but one story does lead to another. We used to do a promo on Cannon Beach for the radio station, you know, making sandcastles or, you know, different sculptures. So we decided to put a big, on the beach, we wrote 62 KGW. Simple, right?
Okay, good.
So people would walk up and go, 62 KGW. 62 KGW.
W.
We all thought that was funny.
Well, I remember I worked for a station that had a W in it, and I remember the general manager and the program director always saying, don't say W, say W. So you're in Portland for how long, then?
I think it was about 2 years.
Late nights?
Maybe a little
over.
A little over. And Gary Lockwood and I worked together, and he came from Michigan, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He worked... He wasn't at a bigger station. He worked at a place in Big Rapids, I believe, which was a smaller market. But somehow he did get the job at KGW.
So you, Lockwood, I want to say Harper?
Phil Harper.
Was doing mornings.
Actually, Uncle Don Wright, have you ever heard of him? He was doing the morning at that time. Phil Harper was doing midday.
So a couple of years in Portland, and you probably got King Broadcasting, I guess the premier station, Radio 11, KING, the Big 11. You've got that in your crosshairs probably, right, you know, while working at KGW.
Oh, sure.
How's the transition to King? How did that go?
Oh, okay. So our PD, Hal Widston, went up to, you know, like you say, the farm thing, went up to Seattle, King AM. And so Gary Lockwood, who was doing the 6 to 10 show at that time,
On Portland's KGW.
Yeah. They wanted him, and then Dan Foley went up, and then Phil Harper went up. Big Jim Martin, and you know Big Jim Martin, called it the Portland Mafia. I mean, he was waiting for his job to end, you know, like we were gonna, but he kept it. He was doing the overnight show, so he was okay. And then pretty soon they called me, and they say, oh, come on up, Joe. Well, before that, though, I ended up doing the 6 to 10 show with took Gary's place.
And it was neat because you would hone your craft. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was KGW in Portland. It was Krim 97 in Spokane.
Right.
All these guys wanted to get to the big time.
Right.
Which is Radio 11, KING, the Big 11.
Right.
So you get there, and now there's like more money than you had in Portland.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The pay was a lot more. And later on, when the disco craze came in, I mean, I would do like 2-3 discos in a day if I could. All the schools, you know, middle schools and junior highs and high schools.
That's good walking around money.
Yeah. You know, we did a lot of those. I was tired. I still had enough energy to do my radio show at night.
And you were primarily 6 to 10, as I remember, at night.
6 to 10 and then 10 to 2 at first and then 6 to 10 later. So
there was a huge battle in top 40 radio in Seattle at that time. Seattle's 95 KJR, where you worked later.
Oh, yeah, later.
With King.
Right.
And KOL was already pretty much
KOL when I got there. It was pretty much, people talked about him a lot, but you know, King and KJR were the two big ones at that time.
So what was that battle like?
The KJR King, well, you know, we did, and you guys do promotions a lot, you know all about that, but we tried to combat each other by, you know, we'd have a, for Halloween, we'd have the broomstick boogie or something like that. And then they would do, sometimes, you know, we were always friends. People would come up and go, hey, you know, I'm so-and-so from, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, I listen to you all the time. But
yeah. And King, man, you know, there was one thing about the King jocks, tight and right on the money. Man, when that jingle would end, boom, the song's right there. There were no dead air, no messing around. Tight, tight, tight. And somebody once described to me, King was the station that other disc jockeys listened to.
Oh, I like that line.
You know, I'd heard that a lot.
Really?
I mean, just the sheer formatics of it, the tightness, the U package. Remember the jingle package?
Oh, yeah.
U and K-I-N-G.
You and me and K-I-N-G.
Yeah, well, you being in radio, I'm, you know, you were good at that, too. But, you know, the game was... And you still aren't ready. I don't want to use word. But
thanks,
I'm thinking back in our old times.
Yeah.
But tight, running a tight board. Other jocks would compliment you. Whoa, you talk right up to that. You know, listeners didn't always like it that you talked up to the vocal, but that was our game. Without a clock, too. I mean, you had to memorize.
Yeah, I mean, here was a scenario. You would talk up a song that maybe had a double post.
Right.
Like Billy Preston, Nothing from Nothing.
Yeah.
And as soon as you nailed that post, you would whip your microphone off, throw your headphones down on the counter and go, yeah.
Yeah, right? Exactly. You got that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's very true. I mean, yeah, that made the radio. You played a game kind of with yourself, you know, that... What did we call it? Controlled confusion, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so many things going on. You had your phone requests coming in, and then you have the little splice thing. You know, it's hard to even imagine splicing a real tape.
Yeah.
And getting that song ready, like so-and-so calls in from Sultan and wants to hear da-da-da. It's their birthday today or something else, and here's their special song. Whoa.
And you're splicing up the phone call maybe during a commercial break or the previous song, getting all the us and ums out of there and making it nice and tight to play moments later. That was a lot of work.
Yeah, a lot of work.
I don't miss it too much.
Yeah, no. I mean, you'd be sweating in there, really. I mean, a lot of people, and there were times where, you know, you did have relaxing times.
Yeah.
If you put on Inagata DeVita,
or Grapevine by Creedence. You know,
oh yes,
11 minutes. But
right.
So you were at King for how long then?
I stayed there up until 1982. And
Joe, I saw a video that was from King 5 TV. You were the last
played the last song on that
song, and it wasn't Elvis.
Nope.
It was you played the last song on King radio before they went news.
Do you remember what it was?
Memories.
Ah, you're close. It's a very old song from the
It was a 78, maybe.
It was a 78.
Not
a 78. It was on an album, I guess, but it was on a big LP.
What was it?
It was Moments to Remember by the Four Labs.
January to December, we'll have moments to remember.
And that I saw on the YouTube a little while back.
Yeah, it's still on there. But
you don't look a day older, Joe.
No, my hair was white back then. No, I'm kidding. No, my hair. I used to have a lot of hair at one time.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah,
and a big beard.
Yeah, and
the It's more trimmed up. You've got the Kenny Rogers thing. So.
Yeah. We can't stop time, as we know, right?
You know, my grandma always said, time and tide waits for no man. How true.
It's so true.
That we take and cherish these moments, like you and me going to play golf today and getting to hang out with you here in the radio studio.
We are very, really lucky. And we know, we've talked before without mentioning, you know, people have passed on.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sad. We won't be here forever.
Yeah. I mean,
Arnold Palmer, look at, for some
reason. We're dedicating our golf day today.
Yes, that's going to be nice. I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Joe, real quick, as we kind of put a bow on this, because the golf course is calling our name. King goes all news, and you cross town to KJR.
Over to KJR, yes, with Gary Lockwood.
Yeah.
And stayed there for 4 or 5 years, and then after that, over to KOMO.
Oh, that's right.
Which wasn't really a rock station. We played a little bit of both, but it was a fun station at
Larry
that time.
Nelson, Keith
Larry
Johnson.
Nelson. Yep. Funny, Larry would, you know, he's not with us anymore, but
yeah.
Larry would sometimes oversleep, and I would sometimes do the overnight show. And Larry would call in about 5:30 and go, Joe, can you cover for me for a couple hours? I mean, this is morning show in Seattle.
Okay.
I said, well, I'll do it. I don't have anything prepared. But,
oh, my gosh.
I mean, there's traffic reports and all this, but I did it, but it was...
I had totally forgotten about Como. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. God, I was there for about 4 years.
It's a flamethrower of an AM station.
Yeah, and then I
too.
Decided to build houses after that, so I built a number by hand, you know.
Wow.
Built 12 or 13 of those, and then I did get into radio just for a short stint in the late 90s. 2000.
Where was that at?
That was KBSG.
Oh, right.
Well, it's hard. But anyway, yeah, that's a long history. You just about, I think we got every radio station at work.
Gosh, what do you haven't been in the studio for a long time. And here,
a long time.
Here at Icicle Broadcasting now, if things have
I'm
changed
amazed,
a little bit.
I'm amazed, and I was telling Randy, things are more complicated, but in a way, simpler. But you have to know how to do it, of course.
Yeah.
And Randy, of course, knows all about that.
We could teach anyone to do any of this stuff. It's very much computer-based now. You're not queuing up a record every 2.5 minutes.
Right.
Your commercial breaks play by themselves off the computer. I wouldn't want to go back, Joe. I've got a lot more time to put content into the show.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you have to go with change. You know, I'm retired now, and I had a great, fun radio career. But some people, I remember when I got into radio, and that was 1966. Some of the people that had been in the 40s and 50s did not like the 60s era. Yeah, they said, it's changed so much.
Yeah.
And we thought it was great.
And now we're looking the same way.
Yeah.
Joe, as we wrap this up,
yes.
We've all met a lot of zany and crazy characters coming up through the business.
Mm-hmm.
Who would stand out in your mind that you've worked with or come across? Somebody that's just kind of out there and just an endearing person, things like that.
I would say as far as in Portland, Uncle Don Wright would do the morning show, and he was into yoga and stuff like that. So if you came in the morning, in between records, he would be standing on his head in the hallway. And you weren't supposed to disturb him because he was meditating.
Oh, my gosh.
But
it must have been a high energy morning show,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, he would meditate a lot. And of course, Phil Harper, as I mentioned earlier, very talented, very witty. And sometimes he would go over the line, so he had to be very, very careful. But Phil Harper's up there. And then some of the, we used to listen to, as you probably did, a lot of air checks of other DJs, and LA and those.
And Dr. Don Rose.
Yeah,
and
all those guys, and you got a lot of. Stole some of the ideas.
The real Don Steele.
Yeah, right. But, it was fun. There was a lot of characters. A lot of people I feel that got into broadcasting usually had something in their life traumatic that happened to them. Or they were maybe in the service, or they moved a lot. You know, so they felt like they wanted to, without sounding funny about it, be somebody. You know, I want to be somebody. And that's... I got in because I love music.
Yeah.
I love rock and roll.
That's a really good point. And there might be a little truth to that with me.
A little.
Joe, we love you. We got to hit the golf course.
So great seeing you after 38 years.
Absolutely. Let's hit the golf course. We got to get a Costco hot dog and we're out in the road.
I got it. All right. I love it. All right. And thank you, Randy.